Mark. And I want to begin this morning with a question. And that is, are you in a quandary? Are you at a crossroads? Are you at a place where you're asking yourself, what should I do? What to do? My son Ezekiel is in that place. He's a senior at Hanford High School. He's graduating in June, and he's going through this whole discernment process on determining what college he's going to end up at. Yesterday, we drove up to Cheney, and we're at Eastern, kind of taking a look around. He's thinking about WSU. He might even stay and save some money and go to CBC. And so we're in that process of discerning, and he is especially of where God wants him to go. And he is often asking the question, what am I to do? What to do? In our text today, in the Gospel of Mark, we catch up with Jesus. And in verse 29, no time has passed between what we talked about last week, Jesus preaching in the synagogue and casting out demons, and then this week's text. So they leave the synagogue in verse 29, and as soon as they left the synagogue, they went to the home of Simon and Andrew. And so they're in Capernaum still, and they're at the home of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. It's probably where they're living now. They're fishermen. They're on the Sea of Galilee. Now, this isn't where Simon and Andrew are from, but they are from Bethsaida, as is recorded in the Gospel of John, the first chapter and verse 44. And so Jesus has already made his presence known with his preaching, his teaching, his recitation of scripture in the synagogue. And in that moment, he cast out a demon or demons. And so people are now trying to track Jesus down. He's become known as the healer and the one who can bring wholeness. And so the whole town gathered at the door in verse 33. Now, this is a larger city, a fishing city. This is on the Sea of Galilee. This has become Jesus' home base in Galilee. So he's moved north a little bit from Nazareth, where he's from. And so now he's going to begin this public ministry moving in and out and through Capernaum. Scholars believe that the population of the town in the first century at the time of Jesus was around 1,500 people. That's quite significant when you think that our text tells us that the whole town gathered at the home of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. That's a lot of people. And Jesus, in verse 34, continued to heal many. He also drove out many demons. And this happened after sunset, because remember, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and so no work could be done on the Sabbath, and so people weren't allowed to be out and walking around. But as soon as the sun went down at sunset, the people ended up at Jesus' door looking for more miracles from this healer and teacher. And so we ask then of Jesus, what is he to do? Jesus, I think, in his humanity, was asking himself that same question. He's trying to get an understanding of where God is leading him and where he's supposed to preach and teach and do his ministry. And so Jesus might be wrestling with some of the questions we wrestle with when we find ourselves in that place going, I'm not sure what road to take. He might be asking the question, do I stay in Capernaum? Is this where I'm to do my ministry? Or do I move on? Where should I go, Jesus might be asking. Am I to continue to preach and teach just in the synagogue to the Jews? Or am I to preach and teach along the road or in homes or to Gentiles? Jesus might be thinking, well, maybe God has something for me altogether different. And so he stands at this precipice of what's now and what's next. We might learn from Jesus today when we stand at that precipice between what's now and what's next in how he handled this situation. But let's pray. And so, God, we ask that you would be here in this time. Lord, there are many times that we find ourselves in a quandary. Time at the crossroads where we stand and consider what's next. And so, Lord, as we learn from Jesus, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive these words, and maybe a prescription for how we move forward with wisdom and discernment. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our foundation. Amen. And so what does Jesus do when he's at this crossroads asking, what am I to do? He does a few things. First, in the beginning of verse 35, we hear that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. The first thing Jesus did when he knew he needed to make a decision as to where to go and what kind of ministry he was going to be involved in was to get away from the crowd. Now, it says that Jesus did this very early in the morning. And there are five times, actually, that the Gospel of Mark talks about Jesus getting away very early in the morning to separate himself from the crowd. But does that mean that we have to get up very early in the morning? Not necessarily. So to those of you who aren't morning people, good news. You can do this any time of the day. And so, no, we don't need to get up very early in the morning. The truth here is that we just need to be mindful of getting away from the crowd. I don't know about you, but when we're in the midst of the crowd, it's hard to hear the voice of God. Sometimes the crowd is so loud, there's just kind of a hum that's coming through our ears and through our heads. And particularly when we're looking for God's wisdom and discernment as to where we are to go or what we are to do, there are just too many voices. And so Jesus steals away to this place of solitude. I've gotten in the habit of stealing away to a place of solitude. In the Toucanon Valley, just outside of Dayton, there's a little campground of America, a KOA campground. And so a couple of times a year, I tow our trailer out to the KOA, and I spend a couple of days there in solitude. Now, I'm not a very good solitude guy. I'm an extrovert. I like crowds. I like people. I get renewed when I'm around others. So this is a very strict and difficult discipline for me to get out to this place. And it's interesting, it's called the last resort. And for me, that's kind of how I feel. I'm like, this is my last resort. I got to get away. But just stealing away from the crowd to be with God has been such a gift, especially when I'm trying to discern what God has next, where God is leading. And Jesus did something when he went away. He didn't just, you know, put up his feet and sleep. He didn't just read through the scriptures. He didn't spend time outlining or writing down exactly the pros or the cons of doing these things. But what did Jesus do? This is significant. Jesus stopped and prayed. What does that mean? You know, oftentimes we think of prayer as our opportunity to talk with God. And yes, that is a big part of prayer. But I think the part of prayer that we miss the most in our context is the opportunity to allow God to talk to us. You see, that's the two-way street of prayer. But in order to have God talk to us, we have to be prepared to listen to God's voice. So solitude is important, but also silence is important. And again, I'm not good with silence. I kind of like the hustle and bustle and the hubbub that's going on around me. And so when I get out to the last resort, I just I can hear rain on the rooftop or a quietness of the surroundings there, but it allows me to hear God's voice, putting down all of the other voices around me. Many people come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't know which way to go. And I say, well, what has God said to you? And they say, well, I don't know. I'm having a hard time hearing God's voice. And I say, are you listening? That's an interesting question. Are we listening that we might hear the voice of God? And this takes some action, some deliberateness, some intentionality. Are we putting ourselves in a place of solitude and silence where we can hear God's voice? That's really important when it comes to discerning what's next for us. This is what I've been telling my son Ezekiel. Put yourself in a place where you can hear God's voice. If you're not hearing God's voice, I say to him, son, it may be because you're not listening. And so Jesus pauses, gets away from the crowd, listens intently through prayer to God's voice. Number three, he's not swayed by others. Can you imagine being Jesus on this day before the sun has come up, and all of a sudden your friends, the disciples, your followers come up to you, and they're kind of frantic, in fact. Simon, in verse 36, says our text, and his companions went to look for Jesus. And when they found him, they exclaimed. They didn't just say, but they exclaimed. They were passionate. They were anxious, probably nervous. And they say to him, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Have you ever been in that place where everyone is looking for you? I've been in that rarely. But boy, it feels like a lot of pressure. You see, what Jesus was doing is separating himself that he could listen to God and get away from the crowd so that he wouldn't be swayed by others. Boy, how often are we swayed by the voices that come to us from anywhere and everywhere? You know what I've learned throughout the years? Is that everyone has an opinion. Did you know that? I didn't know that when I was young. Maybe it's a new revelation, but everybody has an opinion. And typically that opinion is different than everybody else's opinion. And so Jesus is being very, very choosy about what voice he listens to. Jesus has determined who he's going to allow to speak into his life. I would say that's one of the things we don't do very well in our context today. We hear the voices, the rhetoric resounds around us, and we listen and listen and listen, and we are swayed, as the Bible said. We are being tossed to and fro by the wind. Whatever the next voice is, whoever the next big name is, we tend to listen to them. But Jesus was not swayed by others. He was deliberate and intentional about who was speaking into his life. And who was speaking into his life? God, his Father. We too would do well to have a group of people in our lives who we allow to speak to us. I have that group. I call them my PEACE team. It's an acronym. It stands for prayer, encouragement, accountability, care, and encouragement. You're with me on this, right? Yeah, two encouragements, just in case they forget. But I meet with them every Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock, right back here in the prayer room. Three men from the congregation and two ladies. And I tell them what's going on. I ask their opinion. They help keep me accountable. Those are the voices that I believe God has given me that I might listen to. And I was very intentional about choosing who speaks into my life. Because, as I said before, everybody has an opinion. Do you have people in your life that you've chosen, that you've been intentional about, that you've prayed for, who speak into your life intentionally? Do you have that person? Do you have those people? Jesus did. He went straight to his Father. So Jesus gets away from the crowd, listens to God's voice. He's not swayed by all of the cacophony of voices around him. And number four, he knows clearly his purpose, passion, the people to whom he is to go, and his place in life. Jesus replied in verse 38, as the disciples come to him and say, "Come on back. Come back to the house. We have a crowd again that's gathering today. There are people who are sick and hurting and broken. There are those who have demons that are messing with their lives. So you have to come back, Jesus. Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus says, "No, no. Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Wow. Did you know that Jesus said no to ministry? Did you know that? Jesus said flat out, "No, I'm not going back to heal. I'm not going back to cast out demons or to preach or to teach. Not to these people. Not now." And Jesus was comfortable and confident in his decision because, as he proclaimed, "That is why I have come. I have come for all, not just these." I take this text as permission to say no. Permission to say no, even to good things. We can't do everything. And so when we're at that crossroads, we're going to have to choose. We can't go both ways. My son will either be at Eastern or WSU or at CBC. Those are his choices. He's not going to be at all three. Well, I hope. But I don't know. Jesus knew what God had called him to and where he was going. And how did he know that? Because he got away from the crowd, because he listened to the voice of God, because he was choosy and didn't allow those around him to sway his opinion. And then lastly, what did Jesus do? Verse 39. So he traveled throughout Galilee. So he's on the Sea of Galilee there at Capernaum. And so he starts making his way around the other cities there by the sea, around Galilee, and he was preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. We have to know what to say yes to, what road God is calling us down. But the key here is that Jesus didn't begin to do the work of the ministry before he did the work of discernment. I'll say that again because I think it's important. Jesus didn't begin to do the work of ministry before he began to do the work of discernment. It was only after he got away from the crowd, it was only after he listened intently to God's voice through solitude and silence, it was only after he heard from the one that was intentionally speaking to him, not being swayed by others, it was only after Jesus had a clear understanding of his purpose and the passion and the people and the place to which he was called, that Jesus got to work. So what happens then when we don't know? Sometimes God tells us to wait. I don't know about you, but I'm not a good waiter either way. Sometimes God says wait, and that's a hard place to be. But while we're waiting, we might be reminded, when we're in that place at the fork in the road, when we're at the precipice of what's now and what's next, we would do well to learn from Jesus, to discern God's call, to listen to his voice however it comes, still and quiet or loud like a resounding gong, by getting away from the crowd, listening to God's voice, not allowing others to sway our opinion or our decisions, knowing clearly our purpose, passion, people, and place, so that we can get to the work of God's mission and ministry, the very reason we were created. Amen.